Turn in your Bibles to, wait a minute, turn in, everybody hear me? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. Message. The whole service together is really a message to us, don't you think?
Yes.
I think that when people are saying things, even during announcements, lots of times there's something to get from God from those things, and then when we're singing the words to the songs. And people choose some music for us to listen to at the beginning. It's not just a happenstance kind of thing. And I hope that whenever we gather ourselves together before the Lord, that we really see that God has come. Wherever two or three are gathered, there He is in their midst. And that we recognize, hey, we're gathering ourselves together to honor the Lord, to honor what He's done, to give Him the glory that's due His name. He is worthy of all honor and glory and blessing and everything and praise, everything. I hope that's something that we always stir up in our heart when we come together. When we get together, and I'll look around at people, and I just get excited with the fact that God is in our midst, and God plans on doing something, and He plans to speak to me, He plans to speak to you. He's already reaching in and changing our hearts where we need to. Lots of things happen to us without us even realizing it a lot of times in Christ. You know, you ask for something, and you know you're going to get it, and it doesn't happen right away, at least you're not aware of it. But down the line, all of a sudden, you find that God had answered a prayer that you had asked Him weeks or months or years ago, and now you're walking in it. Now, and unbeknownst to you, you can't even put your finger on the day that it actually happened, can you? But there you are, and you find yourself that God has blessed you in a way. That just reminds me of something else. I was there, and I was thinking how lots of times, me, probably you, we're the same kind of people, we come in and we're wanting the Lord to bless us. You know? And although that's okay, that's not really why we should be getting together or why we should serve Him. We shouldn't be looking for some kind of blessing ourselves. He is, like I said just previously, He is worthy. He's what our attention should be on, right? Yeah. Not on what we're going to get from Him. Not what we're going to ask Him and hope that we're going to get something, but that because of who He is and what He's done, that we just give Him ourselves. We're not looking for something in return. Although lots of times we do, you know. We look for that. It's kind of in our human nature. But to give to God because of what He's already done for us is just an amazing thing. And I really find that looking at other faiths, other religions, and comparing it to this one, to the faith that we have, I feel so blessed that we have God the way he is. Mm. It's such a blessing that he is a God of love. And he's a God of judgment. And he's a God that's interested in you and I as individuals. That's an amazing thing. Not other religions, it's God is an impersonal blob out there. He's there, but it's kind of impersonal. And the Lord isn't like that at all, is he?
No.
We're very fortunate that we've taken hold of the truth. Now, if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we have been talking the last two messages about faith. What it is, we talked about, and we expanded on some of that last week. And we're going to continue talking about the faith. Now, when people talk about holding on to the faith, what does that mean when you hear the words the faith? What's that mean to you?
Faith in God.
Jesus. Faith in God?
The good news of the gospel.
The good news of the gospel. So you would have to know what that is, right? What is it? My phone too.
God calling.
That's God calling.
That's another good one.
Yeah, what if I picked it up and hello, Malcolm? That would be something else, wouldn't it? So what is the good news of the gospel? What is it?
Truth?
That he came
the truth, okay. Let's get more specific.
That he's coming back.
Jesus is coming back. What else?
He
died for the sins of the world, your sins, my sins. What else?
We're going to have eternal life.
Yeah, isn't that, this is part of what our faith is about. So part of what the faith is the doctrines, the teachings that Jesus gave, and it's all about his life and his person, isn't it? That's what our faith rests on. Jesus himself and our relationship with him. That's what the faith deals with. There's another aspect to the faith. And sometimes this gets, what's the word? Maybe confused or looked at in a different way, and that is that our faith requires action, and that means a development of character to be to have Christian virtue is what I'm looking for, and that's part of the faith, isn't it? Faith without works is dead. Now, that's going to be something for next week, and we're going to talk about Christian virtue next week, and how all of that plays out and what God's really looking for there, and how that actually takes place. Because some people would say, well, if you're not living the Christian life, you're not a Christian. And other people would say that as long as you believe in the doctrines, then you're living the Christian life. And neither one is exactly correct. And we're going to talk about that and see how all that weaves together. But that's next week. So you're getting next week's before you get this week's. What we're going to talk about today is that our faith is, we're in a war for our faith. And in Timothy chapter 6, verse 12,
Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. That's what we're in. That's what happens a lot in our life. Every day, this is going on in your mind and in my mind. It is a fight to hold on to the faith, the doctrines, the belief system, and to walk the live out the Christian life. To not give in and not have that Christian integrity in terms of the way we think and act and speak. Yeah? Is that right?
Yes.
That's part of this fight of faith. It not only deals with exactly what you believe, but it also deals with how that plays out in your life.
Right?
Right?
All right, so that's what we're talking about. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know, when you're moving in faith, you are in that very moment, you are holding on to eternal life. Aren't you? When things are doubtful, we can be hit in a number of places. One of them, as Christians, people that have taken the evidence, okay, because faith is the evidence of things unseen, who have, through our own thought processes, through reasoning, we go, you know what, there's enough evidence that I believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. There's enough evidence out there, and we've talked about this, so I'm not going to go into detail, enough evidence that he was resurrected from the dead. And when you have those concepts, you're born again to a living hope, aren't you?
Yes.
That's part of your faith. That's part of the evidence. Your reasoned mind brings you to the place that you have enough evidence to say, I believe. Now, there's other people that can look at the same evidence and they don't. They don't have enough evidence for whatever reason. And you and I can't force people to believe. You can force them to come to church sometimes. but that's not too good. Because it's really... every single person in this world has to come to a place where the evidence brings them to that particular decision. Right? Either accept or reject. Thank God we've accepted that. We see the evidence, and that evidence, though we weren't there and didn't see every little thing, there's enough evidence there that has made us become believers. Right? So, now, one way that the enemy, we're in this fight, right? One of the things that the enemy wants to do is he wants to throw darts at our head. He wants to throw those fiery missiles at our head, and what is it that we use to stop the fiery darts of the enemy? The shield of faith, right? Faith. So when things are happening in your life, and some darts are coming at your head that make you doubt, get into some questions, that's not wrong for you to get some doubts every once in a while, get some questions once in a while. What is it that you do? You hold up the shield of faith. Well, what does that mean? You go back to the evidence that convinced you in the first place. I know that whenever I read something and it doesn't make sense out of the Word, or you read evidence from science or from philosophy, and you think, wow, gee whiz, that doesn't fit with what I'm thinking, and geez, what's really right here? You know? What do I do? What do you? What should you and I do? Well, we need to go to the evidence that we know is true, right? Where do you go? I go to the cross, and I go to the resurrection. And then things that I'm not quite sure about, what that scripture means, how that all fits in, or what this person over here with all this particular scientific evidence, I can put that aside and say, well, I do know what I do believe in. And that is Jesus. And Jesus says that everything that's in that Bible is the Word of God. So I know that this is all truth. I don't know that from all kinds of historical evidence, although there's much of that there. You know what convinces me this is the Word of God? Jesus. Because that's what Jesus said. I don't, there's that little song ditty there that goes, this I know.
Jesus
loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know? I know Jesus loves me, not just because the Bible tells me, because I feel it. I sense His Spirit, right? And so I can know that. But, you know, sometimes when you're not feeling that way, when you don't feel that He's really loving you, not hearing your prayers or whatever it might be, you can go back and you can remind yourself, no, Jesus does love me. He loved me so much that He died on the cross for my sins. He loved me and my family and anybody else that I know and love. He loves us all. And it's because I can see it here. I can read it here. That's my evidence, isn't it?
Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and preaching.
Yeah, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, that was last week, I think.
Right? I just want to say something happened to me a couple days ago, and actually it was early morning, I was asleep, and all of a sudden I heard this voice, it was really loud, but it wasn't an audible voice, it was in my head.
Yes.
And that voice said one word, and it said love. And that was it. Hmm. Oh my goodness. And it was loud. That voice was loud. But yeah. I said it was in my head, it wasn't an audible voice.
Yeah.
But it was loud. And I said,
but it was a loud voice inside.
Yes, it woke me up. and said love.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know if you tell me that Jesus loves me, or I'm supposed to show more love or be more loving, but it just said love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yeah, and that encourages your faith, doesn't it? Because what does that do? It's evidence,
right?
It is. You know, these thoughts aren't.
It was a loud voice.
Yeah,
because I said it woke me up.
To me, it's an amazing thing.
I'm asleep, but woke me up.
So I'm gonna talk here quickly. I'm not gonna try to spend too much time
with these. I want you to really just consider this, these things. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 2. Go there right now. We're going to run through some scriptures. Hebrews 2.
What's
that? Well, I quoted it. I didn't, you know, it was up there on the screen, so I... Hebrews chapter 2. Now, in this fight of faith, it really is so important for you and me not to just be people who only hear the Word of God every so often. You know that? Because you know what happens when you don't go back and remind yourself of things. You know, any doctrine of faith, or really any kind of intellectual concept, it doesn't automatically stay alive in your brain unless you feed it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to feed it for it to have life. And that means you can't just, people have said this to me, I don't know how many times, you can't just accept the Lord in that one moment and then that you're saved and you just go off and walk away. That's a pretty good argument, isn't it? You kind of wonder, is that person or yourself, did I really connect with God, or what's going on here? Because it's important that if it's going to be at least alive, if your faith is going to be alive, you need to feed that faith. And if you're not feeding it, and then you're going along something happens creates a problem of faith, of your faith. You're going, well, gee whiz, where's God in this? And, you know, why isn't He doing this for me? Or why isn't this happening? Maybe it could have been solved by a continual staying in the Word, feeding that faith. You know, because lots of times when I start to drift a little bit. Doesn't happen too often, but there's times where that happens. You start to drift and you get caught up with the things of this world, and then something happens. It's a little harder to get back, get my mind right, you know. But boy, when I'm more well rehearsed in the Word of God, when I've been reminding myself by reading the Word and praying to the Lord and taking time to listen to some worship songs and soak in the words of the faith into my being, when something happens, bam, I'm just right there. I boom, stop that thought, that dart that the enemy wants to throw at my head. Do you find that too? Do you notice that when you are prepared like that, when you haven't drifted away from something, from the faith, over a little course of time, you're much more able to deal with that crisis of faith that the enemy's going to try to throw at you? So this is what it says here in Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away, or let them slip, is the way it says it too. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You get that? In other words, we're not off the hook just because we believe.
Right.
We're going to go through some deeper crisis if we don't get ourselves back on in line with our feet solid on the rock. I hope you get what I'm saying.
Okay. So one of the ways that we fight is going to be that we don't neglect the Word. I want you to go to the book of Jude. Right before the book of Revelation, second to the last book of the Bible here, the book of Jude. Jude.
It makes me think of sports, Malcolm.
Yes.
It's like you can be like a great, great player in some particular sport, and then you get away from it. You just don't do it for a while.
Yes.
You don't practice. Right. And then you go back and you try to do the same things that you did before. And it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's not that easy. You can get back there to that point, but it's going to take more time.
Yes.
It's going to take more effort to get back there.
Yeah.
But if you would have kept practicing and kept at it, then you'd be you'd keep that skill going all the time.
It's really true.
It works for your mind too.
Absolutely.
I remember when I was working in the bank 100 years ago, I had a vacation. And you had vacation, you had to get back into it again and get your mind working. Well, this one time I had a vacation, Ronnie was building the roof, I think. And so he and Russell were doing fractions, and we were doing all this measuring and figuring it. When I went back to work, it was like a snap, because I've been keeping my mind active and all that.
Yes. That's important. Yeah, that's right. It is. It's important for us. And for us, because we're in a fight, and that we have an enemy that's looking for every opportunity to see how he can devour us, right? We need to be all the more, as it says in Hebrews 2, be all the more diligent to stay at this, at our faith, making sure we're reminding ourselves. It isn't trying to reconvince ourselves. We're already convinced. We've already got the evidence. We know what the evidence is. What this is to remind, because that's what happens with our fleshy heads of ours, is that we tend to drift away. I think more people end up drifting away from a good, solid walk with God because they're drifting away. It's a slow slide out. Well, I don't need to read today, and I don't need to read tomorrow. I don't have to go to church this day, and I don't need to do this. And then before long, you or I would be way out on the edge of things. Do you want to say something?
We have to remember, too, that Jesus prayed all the time.
So yeah. He's always praying for us.
So I guess we should
take that into account, right? Yes. All right, Jude, chapter 1, which there's only one chapter. Verse 3 says this: Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, this isn't okay, thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and just kind of casually going off, bouncing through life and letting life happen to us and situations happen without any thought of what's really going on and what kind of connections God is trying to make in your life and to change you and me into the image of the Son. This is something that we need to be very contending for.
Fighting.
I'm going to develop this, what I'm going to say here next week. But, you know, it's not about the fear of losing salvation. There's a contending here for a much higher reason. And which I'm saving for next week, so I think you're going to enjoy
what I have to say next week. I'm going to read you something from Mere Christianity. Does somebody have a hand up? Okay. I want to read something from C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite Christian writers. Let's see if I got the right one. Okay.
So here's C.S. Lewis, and he's writing about faith. He says, Now I must turn to faith in its higher sense. And this is the most difficult thing I've tackled yet. I want to approach it by going back to the subject of humility. You may remember I said that the first step towards humility was to realize that one is proud. I want to say to all of you out there who don't think you're proud.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that for one reason. I used to think that was something I didn't ever worry about because I was never proud. At least that's what I thought. Until God showed me something different. You'll see what's happening here in just a second. I want to add now the next step. Is to make some serious attempt to practice the Christian virtues. A week is not enough. Things often go swimmingly for the first week. Try 6 weeks. By that time, having, as far as one can see, fallen back completely, or even fallen lower than the point one began from, one will have discovered some truths about himself. No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. That just really stood out to me. A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. Isn't that right?
You have to give in, it's not too hard.
Right. You find out the strength of the wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. Right? You just go, you know. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. You know that? They have lived a life that always gives in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. The only complete realist. Very well then, the main thing we learn from a serious attempt to practice the Christian virtues. Now, this is kind of for right now, but it's also something that is going to apply into next week as well, is that we always fail. This is really an important thing to get. If there's any idea that God has set us a sort of an exam, and that we might get good marks by deserting them, that has to get wiped out. There's lots of Christian churches, lots of Christian individuals who always are looking at what they do as some kind of exam that they're in with God. And that God is giving you a mark for your goodness or your badness or whatever. And he's saying, all right, blah, blah. If there was any idea of a sort of bargain, any idea that we could perform on our side of the contract and thus put God in our bed, that has to get worked out. I think everyone who has some vague belief in God, until he becomes a Christian, has the idea of an exam or a bargain in his mind. The first result of real Christianity is to blow those things to bits. Then comes another discovery. Every faculty you have, your power of thinking or moving your limbs from one moment to another, is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his already. These are things we've got to understand in terms of faith, you see. Because we're not doing God a favor. And yet we feel that way, I think, in the back of our fleshy minds we do.
Absolutely. Okay.
Malcolm, was there a point about humility?
I kind of lost where I was going to go with that, so I was trying to hide it. Oh. And so I was hoping that it wouldn't be brought out. But this is to keep me humble, see? And God wanted to make sure that I lived what I was talking about. But this has, as I was reading that, I thought, you know what? I don't want to talk about that because, and I couldn't remember where I was going to go with it anyway,
But it's better served for next week. You know, God uses Kathy so well.
All right, I want to go to another scripture. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. I hope you can at least see that.
What God's saying here, you know, we don't want to neglect our faith. We want to know and be reminded of the things that caused us to be believers to begin with, and for that to grow and have our faith grow and be more solidified. We need to contend earnestly because the enemy's coming at us, you know, and that whole thing that Reggie said about practice. I have that written down here. You know, it's a lot like practice. It's like creating habits of faith. Mm-hmm. A habit of faith. You know, we don't want to get locked into certain things, but yet habits can help us to stay in the flow of what the Lord wants to give us. Right? I mean, all of us probably use hearing this. Alright, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Do not cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of, and in the King James it says patience, but it also means perseverance, endurance. That when you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, I wonder, there's been things I've prayed about for years and haven't seen a result in certain things. Other things I've prayed and I've seen results.
Right.
You know? And I need to be perseverant. I can't be giving up after I've done the will of God, which is to pray, right? And believe. I can't just stop. And this is what it says in verse 37. For yet in a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, verse 38. The just will live by faith. But if any person draws back, my soul won't have any pleasure in it. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we have to persevere. This is part of what we have to do. Because our timing and God's timing are not the same a lot of times. And we need to persevere in our faith for the things that we're asking God for and believing for and looking for in terms of the prophetic situations. We need to persevere in our faith. We need to have patience in our faith. Especially in our asking for things. Because his timing is right. Our timing is not. The enemy, and this is a segue to this last point I wanted to make for today. And that is
that,
you know, reason is very much tied in to our faith because it deals with the evidence. And we go back to that evidence and we remind ourselves of that evidence. And that helps to strengthen our faith. But you know something that really gets in the way a lot? We're talking about how we can drift away by not paying attention to what's in the Word. We can get hit by the darts of the enemy. We can not persevere. We just get tired. Just get spiritually tired. You know, those things can happen. We need to be aware of these things and realize that we have to be people beyond that. And we can be, because we have the Spirit of God within us, right? All right, now here's this last point I want to bring out. And that is, let's go to a scripture first.
And that's 2
Corinthians chapter 10. I'll give you the scripture first and then I'll talk about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
What verse is that?
Verses 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10. It's talking about warfare. We are in a fight, right? We're talking about you know, that we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're in this war. And it says here in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what?
War
according to the flesh. For though we for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I wrote down here, you know what really messes us up in our faith sometimes is our feelings, our moods, our desires. Yeah? And we can... We can. What happens, I think, a lot is that in terms especially of virtue, I wonder why that's going on.
I've been blinking all morning.
It's a sign.
We know what to do sometimes, but our desires or the mood that we get in affects our faith. There's a lot of people outside of the faith who aren't Christians yet, who they don't come into the faith because they have strong desires that they don't want to give up. Is that right?
Yeah.
They have imaginations that are not pulled down. Right? They have all of these different kinds of thoughts and desires and moods. I don't feel like helping that person out now. How do you know that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? You know, we can have these moody, petulant kind of feelings that get in the way between us and our faith. That can happen. Do you ever get mad at God?
Yes.
You ever get up? You don't get upset with God every once in a while? God, I don't understand why you're doing that or why you're not doing that. You know? And the enemy will use that opportunity of not understanding something. And the feelings and the mood that's developed because of that to try to destroy your faith and get you to say, the heck with this. I'm going to just go my own way. Now, hopefully, all of us are grown to a place where that's not going to happen too easily. But I'll tell you what, there's probably not one person sitting in here that if the enemy touched you in certain places for a certain amount of time and there didn't seem to be any kind of relief to what was happening in your life with a particular emotion, thought, attitude, whatever, there's something in every one of us that we better be careful about. And we better contend earnestly for the faith. Because the enemy will be looking where he can devour you. Don't think that, we just bounce through this Christian life. Now, we have Christ in us, and we can overcome. But boy, we have to connect with Christ. There's lots of people who have gotten washed out in the faith. Because they drifted away, they allowed emotions, attitudes that put a wedge between them and God. I had a situation where my faith was really tested last year about something. God, why did you let this happen? I don't understand this. And it really, and it hurt. And I went through this questioning thing with the Lord for a little bit. Not too long, but for a little bit I did. And I don't have to feel condemned about it. I'm human. You're human. These things are going to happen to us, but we've got to get that connection made. We've got to remember, wait a minute here. I do know that God loves me, and that he died for me on the cross, and that he was resurrected, and I'm justified by that, and he has all things, and everything that he said, that shows me that everything he said is true, and he has the power, and he has overcome all things, and he's given all of this to me, and I can get back on top of things again. And that can happen. Right? You have to believe. You've got to believe that. You've got to allow your faith to take you beyond the little or big bad thing that's going on.
So, I've kind of woven in a little bit about the Christian virtue that I wanted to save for next week, but you'll hear a little bit of this, a little bit of an overlap.
Well, we want to be people of faith. We want to be people that will fight the good fight of faith. Don't we? And this comes by being in the Word, worshiping Him. The more you connect with Jesus, the more you're going to be on top of your faith. Right? And we're going to talk a lot more about that very personal thing with the Lord next week, especially. So Lord, I thank you today. I ask that you make these things real in our lives, that we would understand them, and Father, that we would be humble people, people that recognize our weaknesses, that we give them to you, Lord, that we would just trust you. Our faith is trust, and things happen, Lord, and Lord, we just need to trust you. Hold us in the palm of your hand, Lord God. And we have confidence, and so we will persevere. We have confidence in the evidence that we stand on. We believe in what you've done, who you are. And so, Lord, confidently, we continue to take our steps of faith. Help us, Lord, not to drift. Help us, Lord, not to allow anything drive a wedge between you and us.